Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Perek Tes Halacha Yud Beis, Chapter 9, Law 12. We're now into the Kachal, the udder. The udder is an interesting organ because it seems to have some kind of meat. The udder is meat, and it's got milk inside of it. So it's a unique part of the animal. So now, HaKachal, an udder, is Asur Medivrei Sofer. Oh. Minor detail.
It's keeping me busy here, but Ron doesn't get the benefit.
Okay, let's see if it's going to hook on with it privately being on there. Okay, let's just wait 1 second. Good.
Excellent.
Perfect. Thank you. Kachal Asur Medivrei Sofer. The Kachal is Asur rabbinically. Okay? Only rabbinically. And we'll explain why.
Usher to eat completely, or?
Yeah, we'll see. Why? Because really, what does it have inside of it?
Milk.
Yeah, but it's milk from a shechted animal. It wasn't expressed milk.
Right.
It was milk that was sitting in there. We already talked about that.
Right.
That's the only milk that's usher is the milk that's come out of the mother. Not milk that's in the mother. Really, that's permitted. Mm-hmm. So now, she'ein basar shnis basho v'chalev shchuta. Because there's no halacha of meat cooked with shechted milk from a shechted animal. That she'ein basar shnis basho v'chalev shchuta asur min haTorah. That's not asur from the Torah. K'mo shebarino, like we already explained. Okay? That to transgress cooking with meat, it's not, you know, enough, you know, it's having the taste of it, right? But it's got to have been, it's got to have been expressed out, right? So the milk that's in the kachal, it never got out. So it's part of inside the animal. Therefore, really, we're going to be very lenient with this kachal, even though the rabbis were strict on it, but there's room for leniency over here. Lefikach, im karu, umere kachal shvo, if you cut the kachal, and spill out the milk. Mutar litzlos ochel. You can roast and eat the meat, or the chal, because the milk's already gone out. Vimkaru shesver, you cut it crisscrossed. V'tachu b'kosel, and smashed it against the wall to squeeze out every single final drop. In other words, the first process doesn't really take out every single drop from it. There could be a little bit of milk left in the chal, but if only in the chal by itself, okay, not a big deal. It's only rabbinically not allowed, so we'll be lenient. But now, if I want to cook it with other meat, and now some of this kachal stuff is going to impart to go beyond, so now I got to really make sure there's no milk left in here. So I got to cut it crisscross, smash it against the wall, till there's not any drops of milk in there, and then then I can cook it even with other meat. Because some of that's going to go out. And since it's going out, I don't want any milk to be left in there.
So that would be considered like expressed when it goes out of the udder? Meat?
Well, it's like rabbinical, you don't want to have that milk. So when it's out of its place, then it seems to be mixing with other things. But if you've mamish removed every drop of milk, mutu lavashu vas, you can now cook it with other meat. However, what if you didn't do what you're supposed to do? Ukachal shalo karo. What if you had a kachal and you didn't cut it open? Bain shel ketana shel anika, it doesn't matter if it's a kal of a little calf that never nursed yet and never really had lots of milk. Bain shel go, it doesn't matter if it's a big, big mama cow who had lots of milk. So if you didn't cut it open, then also Lavash shouldn't cook it at all for the rabbinic reason of the milk that's in there. What if imavu rabishul b'fnas? What if you went and cooked it anyway by itself? Mutalachlo. After the fact, we say it's all right. It's not even rabbinically prohibited. Okay? Because even if it went out, it would only be rabbinic. So we're more lenient into that situation. And if you cooked with other meat, so then we measured 60 to 1. And we're more lenient, and the kachal could even be part of the 60. So in other words, whatever milk may be in there, we let the kachal be part of the 60 to negate whatever milk may be in the kachal.
The 60 is usually just b'dieved, like you're doing this in a...
Well, this is after the fact. This is after the fact. This is if you've cooked it already with other meat, then we measure 60 against that.
Okay.
Why wouldn't it be something about... why don't you just wash it?
Well, you got to get the milk out. You got to rip it out. You got to cut it. You got to cut it to get it out.
It's still going to sort of absorb on the walls. Like, why wouldn't there be a
Here's the problem, Ron. You see, it's breast tissue. So breast tissue is not in a big sac in a reservoir. You open it up and it gets it out. It's in tiny little saccules. So you got to almost squeeze it out, because if you notice how the baby's nursed, it's suckle. They're sucking it. The same thing with breastfeeding. It's not. It's all in the little glands themselves. So even cutting it open, there's still tons of glands that still have milk in them. So you got to put pressure on it, and that's what gets the milk out.
Strictly speaking, is the milk parf or fleishig that's inside there?
Well, it's not anything.
It's not anything.
Biblically, it's nothing. Biblically, it's nothing. Rabbinically, we say it's a problem, but really, it's nothing. It's not usur.
And they say roasting would be, they'd be even more lenient than cooking, because the roasting
it just goes out fast. Yeah. Yep. Your gimel ketzat. So give an example of this. Imhaya hakol imakchal kamoshishim bakchal. If you have everything with the chal, and together with the 60 of the chal, then the chal is usur. The chal is usur because that's mixing the meat and milk. Vashar mut is when you didn't cut anything. Vashar mut, everything's okay. If it's less than a 60 to 1 ratio, then I call us and everything's awesome. But either way, what if that chal falls into another pot altogether? Also, it could bring everything prohibited. You have to do 60 times again. Because now the chal itself becomes prohibited. Now they got mixed up with its milk. We measure the 60 the way it's shrunk after cooking and not the way it was before the cooking. Don't look at it pre-cooking, look at it post-cooking. Okay, and now Yudalit. Ain't solanus a chal, shekatoch alamam yasur. We don't roast chal that's been cut on top of another piece of meat, vashvud, on the spit, because we're afraid some of that chal milk will just spill onto the other milk, even though bidiyev will be okay, but lachiv don't do that. But if you did that, hakol mutter, everything's mutter again, because it's all rabbinic, and therefore we're much lenient over here. Okay, tesvav. Keva shebishla b'chol of shebo. What about a stomach? You cooked a stomach with the milk that's in that. In other words, a calf drank its mother's milk, and the milk now goes right into the stomach, and while it's still inside, hasn't had time to get it out of its system, you shechted the kid. So you open up, and you got a stomach with milk in the stomach.
Yeah, but that's not milk. That's digested already. There's partial digestion.
But it's there, right?
It's not milk.
So anyway, muteris, it's allowed. Maybe for that reason. She'eino chalav, it's not milk.
Not milk.
See? Ella hu ketinov, it's like garbage.
It's the digested material.
Tinofes. Sharei yishtana b'man. It already got changed while it's in the stomach.
Those enzymes.
Even though you see liquid, and you could be sure that came from the milk, but it's no longer it's digested milk. And digested milk is totally different.
There's been a shinui. There's been a shinui.
And that's why you're okay, and that could be a real great delight. You know?
You ever had it?
No, but it could be a delight. I could see it being a delight, right? You take a calf, have it nurse from its mother,
yeah.
Right away kill it, and you can mamish get a little bit of that inkling of what meat and milk would taste like. It'll be 100% permitted, right?
Somehow I think I'll find another way. How about the parva cheese? You
I'm
know,
just
I can try
saying.
That
nothing beats Mother Nature,
that was
right?
Setting up the sea. Yeah.
All right. Tess Zion.
Good luck.
Now we move on. Oh, well, one more. Mark, it's good you told us information yesterday. It's going to be relevant to this now, but you guys remember what we're putting in over here. This is not exactly rennet over here, if I'm not mistaken. Tess Zion. Also, Hamid Akvina, Beor Hakeva. It's forbidden to put into cheese the skin from the stomach. Okay? That the flesh from the stomach, the or hakeva, you cannot put in the milk to make that into cheese.
Right.
Shel shchuta, even though it was a shechted animal. But this is really a piece of the thing. It's not the rennet is already further steps removed. It's the byproduct. It's not, but this is actually a piece of the stomach lining or whatever.
It has enzymes. There's a little bit of
yeah, but it's also meat.
Didn't we say before 100%. The skin wasn't meat? But yeah, this is skin of the stomach.
Of the stomach. It's not the outer.
That's outer skin. This is skin of the stomach.
Even though it's a shechted animal. But you can't do that. The now, so you're not allowed to do
is that. Is
that
rabbinically or is that or is that more araisa?
Well, it should be doraisa. Well, we'll see. Well, we'll have to see. You're not really cooking it. You're just imamed it.
Right.
Vim hamid, what if you did do that? Then toimas agree, you get a goy to taste the cheese.
And if it doesn't
taste like meat, asur, you can't eat it. Imlav, it doesn't taste like meat. Muteres.
So it's
allowed.
It has to be rabbinic.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't we say a Dabra Mamet, a filo belishobach? Remember we said something that makes the milk curdle, even 1,000 times can nullify it, but that's only if what you put in was absolutely treif. If you put in a treif piece of meat in the milk, it can never be nullified.
Okay.
But here, mipnei shamam edavra mutar, but the thing you put in is totally permitted to eat on its own. It's the stomach of a slaughtered animal. We're only dealing with the prohibition of meat and milk potentially here. But if it's not putting any taste in the meat, then you don't even have that. Shishiura, that we measure the prohibition, but no same time. Now, of course, you don't initially do this. You don't initially do
this
something that we nullify. But after the fact, it's okay. However, this is the point. What if you throw into the milk to make the cheese the skin of the stomach of a treif or nevela or not a kosher animal? Now you're saying something that's already usher. So since that thing is usher in and of itself, nesra gvina mishum nevela. The cheese is usher. Why? Because of the taste of nevela. Lo mishum basarav. Not because it's prohibited meat and milk. And because of that concern, that's why you don't eat goyish cheese. That's why you have to have, the cheese has to be supervised. Because they may throw in treif pieces of meat to make the cheese happen. That's why you can't buy goyish meat and cheese.
It's not meat itself, it's just that it's not...
Well, it's a maimed. It's a maimed. It's right. It's stable. It's a stabilized, whatever you call it.
Right.
And it therefore, it's even in 1,000, it's not nullified.
It's a catalyst. I think it's a catalyst.
So even in 1,000, it's not nullified. You don't taste any meat at all.
Last night, I always thought it was a fleshic milchic issue. It's not.
No.
So you could.
It's treif. It's a treif issue.
It's a treif issue.
So you could. That means you could own not kosher cheese.
What do you mean own it?
It's not a question of basar chol. You have hanah from it. Because it's not
possible. Yeah, so you could sell. You could be a non-kosher cheese merchant.
Which is not how I understood.
But then again, we still said you shouldn't make permanent business from that. Remember,
right,
Rambam says there should be your permanent business.
Could be
but
a
on
side
occasion, if you get a cheese platter from your goyish workers for Christmas, then you could pass it on to somebody else who's goyish and get that benefit. Yes, sir.
Why in this case here would we trust a goy where normally we never trust a goy?
Who's trusting a goy?
The tasting.
Again, the Rambam says we don't trust him.
Well, it just said there we do.
The Rambam
says The Rambam says we don't.
Remember, the Rambam is like
Ashkenaz. It's machlokas. So we would do it with 60. We'd look at it as 60. That's all. With 60. Okay, now, Yud Zayin. Tesla says some more general rules about meat and milk. Habasar levado, meat by itself, mutar, is permitted. Vacholav levado, and milk by itself, mutar, is permitted. Ubihisarev shneim, and when you mix the two of them, but most importantly, al yedei bishul, through cooking, then yeyesur shneim, they are both prohibited. Now there's a point he's trying to make very clear, as it's going to be nogeah shortly. Milk by itself is good. Meat by itself is good.
We
the only problem is when you put the two together in the form of cooking. That's when you create a problem.
And
this is
going to
make it different than good old-fashioned treif. But Medrin, what are we talking about over here? Let's say both of them got cooked together. That's one way to make a problem. Or a piece of hot meat or hot milk fell onto the other one. You didn't cook it, but you had, let's say... Yeah, you cooked up some hot milk, finished. On the other end, you got a hot meat, and I just dropped the piece. The burner's off. But hot with hot is also not a good shidduch. Now, even the following, or something cold going into something hot.
Right.
We have the rule, we say when cold goes on hot, we say the bottom rules, and that makes the top hot. Not the reverse. Doesn't happen. It's called tato gavar.
So you got hot
the
top.
Bottom one is considered the one that wins. Cold milk goes onto the hot meat, it's a problem.
So hot meat falling into cold milk.
Oh, that's not. See, avoli nafal echad mishneim. But if one of them falls, v'hu cham, and it's hot, letoch hashem, and the one on the bottom is cold, then it's not such a big problem. It doesn't have time for it to get mixed in. So kolef abasar kula, all you do is scrape off a thin nail thickness of the meat that touched the milk, and everything is fine. And the milk's not a problem at all.
It doesn't matter the ratio?
No, because it hasn't have enough time to cook. When it's cold, hot, going into cold, it hasn't enough time to cook. It doesn't have enough time to cook. So just a little, you scrape off a little meat and that's all. If you nuffle so went cold into cold, that's not a problem at all. Well, you just rinse it off.
With water.
And go and eat. Lavigach, therefore, mutar litzror basar ugvina b'mitvachas achas. You can wrap up a piece of meat and cheese in a handkerchief as long as, ushlo yigo says, they don't touch each other. So let's say you have like this. Let's say here's a piece of meat, here's a piece of cheese. Okay, we'll do it better. Right. So I have enough room here. Here's my handkerchief, here's my meat, here's my cheese. So I can theoretically,
well, then I would close the time to
wrap it like this. This, okay, and they're not touching each other. My table is still rolling. They're still good.
It's good quality.
Right? That's okay because they're cold. They're not touching each other, and you're fine. And look, and what's the worst that could happen? Vim nogu. What if they did touch? Well, madiakabos, just rinse off the meat. Madiakabina, rinse off the cheese. Vaichel and enjoy the separate meal. Right? And if it's real milk, then there's no washing of milk. You don't have to do anything. You can drink milk the way it is. A piece of solid meat, not pieces coming out of it. Let's say a piece of salami. That's a good example because you're not going to have any bits coming out. A piece of salami just falls right into your milk carton. No problem. Just take the salami out, drink the milk as is, rinse the salami, and you're cool, man.
But don't eat the salami with the milk together.
Okay, that you can't do. Okay, yuches. Now we're going to go to another step removed from cooking.
They're not cooked together.
Who, what? Because it's cold.
It's cold, cold. Everything's cold.
You said don't eat them together.
Rabbinically, you don't eat things
don't
cold.
Eat, you can't eat milk and meat together.
But it says that.
Well, we'll see. We'll have to get... Okay, but we'll see. Rabbinically.
Rabbinically, you can't.
Okay, yuches.
I think there's a problem.
Maliach, let's say you salted a piece of meat so much you can't eat it. It's like for long-term storage, you know. Harehu karosech, halachically, we consider it like it's boiling.
Yeah, it's cooked.
Because the salt is like opening up the pores of the meat. Okay, makes it very susceptible for any milk that comes in. It's going to seep right into the pores of the meat. V'imnechel kemo shehu, kemo hakutach, but if you can eat it the way it is, no, it's not too salty, like kutach.
What's kutach?
Kutach is a dairy dish. Yeah. It's a mixture of milk, breadcrumbs, salt, and spices.
It's a Babylonian dish.
It was a dip. A Babylonian dip.
It was a dip.
Okay. So anyway, if you can eat it, it's salty, but not too salty. Not too salty. Eina karasech. It's not considered like it's boiling, and therefore it's not osir. Okay. Next. Yutes. Ov shachut. Let's say you shechted a boid. And it falls into some milk. Olukutach, or to some of this kutach, milch kutach. Sheesh bukov, that has milk in it. So now, im chayhu, if the boid is raw, then may dirchamuta, just rinse it off and it's fine. Vim tsoli, but what if it's a roasted? Well, now the Rambam's not clear what he means by saying it's roasted. In other words, some say it means it was roasted before, but now it's cold. Some say it's roasted now and it's hot. So it's not clear what the Rama means because it's a Gemara, it's not clear, and he's quoting the Gemara verbatim. So what does he say? Gemara says, kolfo. You just strip off a little bit of the edge of the meat. Imhayubo, pluchim, pluchim. If it had little cracks in it, the meat, was completely spiced up a lot, that makes it, again, very porous. It's able to have milk go in and it can discharge its flavor. Vinavcha falls in the milk, ola kutach into kutach, areza usr is prohibited to eat it.
To eat what?
To eat any of that.
Oh, so the whole thing's
it's gone. All mixed up. The machloikas didn't mean it was roasted or it, but either way, but it's got these cracks in it. So cracks, it's easy to go in, right? That's the problem. Okay, now we move to another area of eating at the same table somebody with fleishiks and milchiks. Chav. Aser lahalos ha'of imagvina ala shulchan sho'eichel alav. You're not allowed to put on a table chicken okay, which really would only be rabbinic at worst anyway,
right,
with cheese on the same table that you're eating at. You don't have both of them there. For obvious reasons, Gzera, we're afraid. Mishum Heruva could bring you to a sin. Shemi Yochel Zemze, this one will eat with this one. And there it's certainly not cooked, but you're going to eat the cheese with the chicken. And that's not good. Very interesting. Very interesting. This is a machlokas beis hillel beis shammai. And here, beis hillel unusually are the strict opinions. It's one of the few examples where shammai is the lenient opinion and hillel is the strict opinion. And we hold like Hillel as the strict.
I think Shammai really liked chicken parmesan. I think
yeah. And Hillel is the strict opinion over here. And we don't want people to eat the chicken with the meat. Okay.
Shammai said it was okay?
Now.
Yeah.
Now, the commentaries add, this is only if you are eating at the table. But if you're preparing meals and you're not eating, and one end of the table you can prepare milchiks, the other end of the table
it's different stories.
Because you're not eating. You're not eating anyway. Now, even though chicken and milk is only rabbinically prohibited, right? Still in all, we want to strengthen the biblical laws, because if you're going to do this, then you may be eating meat and milk at the same table, so we just don't make any of that allowed. Yes, Paul?
No, that's fine.
What about, now, not two people in the same house, but two guests in a hotel, and they're bringing their own meals, or two workers at work, and they're not exactly best of friends. They have their own food. So Shane and Makim said, they don't recognize each other. Let's say guests at a hotel, keep it easy. You're here, the guest over there. You don't know him, he doesn't know you. So Ochim Zeh B'shul Al Shulchan Echad. They can eat at the same table. Zeh B'sar Behemah Zeh Gmin. This can eat flesh, this can eat milchiks. Why? They're not feeling so close with each other. They're not going to eat. You know, if I'm good friends, can I take one of your fries while you're having your milkshake? You know, I'm your good friend. We share. But if he's a stranger, hey, get your paws off my plate, man. So then you don't have to worry about those kinds of things. All right. How about, can you make milchik bread? Chafes. Ein lashin ha'isa b'chalav. You can't knead dough with milk. Im lashin, if you do, kol ha'pasta, so the entire bread is not allowed, even though it's 100% kosher.
Wow.
Why? Your hair go over there. Come and do a sin. Shemiyot was, you're going to put a salami sandwich with milchik challah. That's not going to be good. All right? Now, also, similar things we don't do. Now, of course, if you'll make a... he's going to say that in a minute. V'im toshin es hataner ba'aliyah. V'im toshin. You don't smear the interior walls of the oven with fatty, with fleischer fats. And you're going to now bake challahs in there.
Don't do that.
V'im tosh, if you smear it, then kol ha'pas, all the bread that you're going to make, although it's 100% kosher, but since it's in a closed, small stove,
sure,
the taste of the fat will go into the challah, then the entire bread is usher. And how long is that a problem? Achi yaskes atarner. Unless you've burnt out the oven before you bake the challahs and burn out the fat from there. But we're afraid. Why? Because Shema Yochel in Basar. You could eat this fleshic bread with milk. So basically, you can't make fleshic bread, you can't make milchic bread. But what if you did the following? Vimshina Betsuras Hapas. What if you change the shape of the bread? It's a uniquely different, it doesn't look like your standard parv challah. Alright? Achtia Nikeres. It's so discernible that it's an unusually different challah. Kidesh Lo Yochel Lo Serva Lo Chav. And you're not going to eat meat or milk with it, depending on how you made it. Harezem mutar. That's allowed because you've clearly made a distinction between the one of them. Let's do one more and we'll finish
so that's
up.
That's how they could make like cheese better.
Cheese, a cheese Danish. You really couldn't make a cheese Danish, but it looks different. It's a cheese Danish. It's not a
How about cheese buns?
Yeah, you can see the cheese on top.
Okay, generally these are all, you can see there's a difference.
Yes.
There's a difference. But what about regular challah with
milk.
With milk in it?
Or if you make a regular bread, regular
that
bread.
That you can't do.
With cheese
unless
chunks
you
inside.
You have to make some kind of discernible thing for you to know that that's what it is. All right. You know what? Let's stop over here. It's a good place. And we don't have too much more to finish the parak tomorrow. So we did from...